Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in Mawla yusalli wa sallim daiman abada Ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. When the archers who were guarding the mountain pass see that the disbelievers are fleeing from the battlefield and that the Muslims are collecting the booty that they were left behind by the disbelievers, they decide and they speak among themselves and they say, let us also go to collect our share of the booty. So the Amir Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu reminds them about the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to remain firm in their positions, no matter what may happen. However, they felt that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mean this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not speaking about this situation, where the disbelievers have, and they are defeated. Felt that now, that instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not apply. Hence, it was perfectly fine for them to go onto the battlefield and collect the booty that was left behind by the disbelievers. Hence, most of the archers leave their positions. It was only Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu, the Amir, and less than 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhu that remained with him in their positions, and the rest went down onto the battlefield. Khalid bin Walid, who later on became a great Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he was in charge of one flank. He was in charge of the horsemen. So he sees that this pass was no more guarded. It was no more secure. And hence he sees the opportunity to attack from this, to attack from this pass, from this open area. And those archers that were there, obviously they were too few to defend that pass. And the disbelievers first attacked these Sahaba, Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu, the Amir himself. They made him shaheed, mutilated his body. And Ikrima bin Abi Jahl, who was also in charge and appointed on the other flank of the Qurayshi army, later on became a Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He also followed Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And now they attack the Muslims from behind. When they attack in this way, they begin to scream, Dal al-Uzza, Ya lahubal. So, the army that was fleeing from the battlefield, the Qurayshi army that was fleeing, they once again got strength and they come back onto the battlefield. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were sandwiched. Because from behind there was an attack, and those that were fleeing from the front, they also returned and they re-attacked. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were caught in between. And they were not prepared for battle. They were busy collecting booty. Their hands were even full with the items of booty that they were collecting. And hence, this became a very chaotic situation for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They lost their footing. They were all split up, all separated. They were no more in the rows that they were previously well arranged with the central command. Now they were all split up all over. So there was complete chaos in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's ranks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Majeed. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِي. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing them with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were initially defeating your enemy. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Until when you lost heart, you became cowards. وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You began to dispute regarding the matter, regarding the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You began to dispute regarding that, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant. وَعَصَيْتُمْ And you went against the command and instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to these archers leaving their positions. مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُعِبُّونَ. After Allah showed you what you desired, Allah showed you victory, Allah showed you booty, and this entire situation changed. Minkum may yuridu dunya wa minkum may yuridu al-akhirah. Some were concerned about gathering the booty which was dunya, and others were concerned about, more concerned about akhirat. But after mentioning all of this, the beauty of and the greatness and excellence of Sahaba radiallahu anhum is that when Allah is reproaching them, Allah also announces His forgiveness for them. وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. Allah is announcing His forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah is one of great favor. Allah favors the believers. So this is one ayat. And inshallah later we will discuss another ayat. But the highlight of both these ayat is when Allah is reproaching Sahaba, Allah announces their forgiveness as well. Hence Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, in front of him, when once someone spoke against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that left the battlefield of Uhud, then he would say that when Allah has announced His forgiveness for them, how dare does anyone speak against them and reproach them? Nevertheless, the entire scenario had changed. The entire tide of the battle had turned. And now it was a different story altogether. There was chaos on the battlefield. Taking advantage of the situation, Iblis, Shaytan, he shouts out and he says, "Ey ibadallah ukhraakum, O servants of Allah, watch your backs." So he was addressing the Muslims as if this announcement is being made by one of the Sahaba. He pretended to be like that. He pretended and made it to be like that. That this announcement is being made by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that watch your backs. So those that were in the front now turned around. Those Sahaba that were in the front, they turned around. And behind them were Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now there was so much of confusion. And Sahaba are facing each other. They were, many of them were covered in armor, etc. So they could not even recognize each other. And because of this chaos, Sahaba began to even fight with one another. And in this entire situation, a famous Sahabi, Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu an, his father Yaman, whose actual name was Husayl bin Jabir radiallahu an, he became shaheed at the hands of the Muslims. What had happened with regards to him was he was a senior Sahabi. He was old, advanced in age. So he and another Sahabi, Thabit bin Waqsh radiallahu an, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept them with the women and children. They were in some secure place that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept the women and children in. And these two Sahaba were with them. But after some time they speak to each other and they say that we got such a short life left. Our life is so short. إِلَّا ذِمْأَةُ himar. Our life is so short, like the period that a donkey can remain thirsty. So a donkey can't remain thirsty for too long. So showing how short life they have left. So we have the short life left. What's the point for us to remain here? Let us go onto the battlefield. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنَا الشَّهَادَةَ. Perhaps Allah will bless us with shahadat and martyrdom. So these two Sahaba, senior Sahaba, advanced in age, they go down onto the battlefield. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not expect them to be on the battlefield. Because they were not supposed to be here. Hence, in this entire situation, this chaos that was going on, and not even thinking that this Sahabi would be there, Sahaba radiallahu anhum attack him. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhum sees this and he screams, "Abi, Abi, my father, my father." But no one could hear his voice. And finally, his father was made shaheed at the hands of the Muslims. However, Sayyiduna Hudhayfa radiallahu an, he mentioned, and he says, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. The same words that Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to his brothers. These are the exactly same words that Hudhayfa radiallahu an say to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, may Allah forgive you. It was a mistake on your part. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah is most merciful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam offered diyat. He paid diyat. Blood money for the blood of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's father, and this money was given to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. However, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, despite having the full right to take this money, he did not take this money and he distributed this money in sadaqah. Because of this, his position in the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became even greater. Although he was already close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the secret keeper of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, great accolades and virtues he enjoys. But because of this action of forgiveness, big-heartedness that he had, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had even more respect for him, and he enjoyed an even greater position in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite the Sahaba radiallahu anhum losing their footing, despite them being scattered all over, there was a mountain of courage, and there was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not move a single inch, remained absolutely firm. Although he was extremely close to the enemy, and there were very, very few Sahaba that remained around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Approximately 14 Sahaba were around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From them, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu an, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu an, who later on became the flag bearer. So there were a few, and seven Ansari Sahaba were left with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained absolutely firm. Rasulullah sallam himself was firing arrows, throwing stones on the enemy. The attack was directly on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, that would be the plan and the aim and objective of the enemy, to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained absolutely firm in this situation. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was the flag bearer. As you explained previously, the important role that the flag bearer plays. He was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Qami'a, thinking him to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his resemblance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and obviously at that time, as you explained, they were covered also with helmets, etc. So, not realizing, thinking Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he attacks the right hand of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, which was holding the flag. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu takes the flag in his left hand. Ibn Qamiya attacks his left hand. Then, with whatever was left, the stubs of his shoulders, he tries to hold the flag of Islam. However, thereafter Ibn Qamiya had slain him and had severed his head, and Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu falls on the battlefield. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed an angel looking like Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to take the flag of Islam. So this angel takes the flag. Rasulullah himself didn't realize that Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu had fallen and this was an angel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Taqaddam ya Mus'ab. Oh Mus'ab, move ahead, go forward. The angel replies, Lastu bi Mus'ab. I am not Mus'ab, I am actually an angel. Thereafter, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu takes the flag. And when Ibn Qamiya had attacked Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and made him shaheed, then he thought that he has killed the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he has made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shaheed. So he, or Iblis, different narrations, either him or Iblis, shouts out and says, Inna Muhammadan qad qutil, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been killed. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been killed. Now imagine when any one of us receives the news of anyone, of the demise of anyone that's close to us. What happens to us? We become numb. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what to do at that time. Imagine Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the close love and attachment that they enjoyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in such a tense situation, for these words to come in their ears, this was the last thing that they wanted to hear, and now these words fall in their ears. They were all scattered about, not knowing where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and now they receive this news that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been martyred and made shaheed. There were different responses among Sahaba. Some Sahaba leave the battlefield. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more, what should we fight for? Some Sahaba sit down, again thinking, why should we be fighting? Other Sahaba were just fighting to protect their own lives. In this entire scenario, entire situation, or regarding this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of Quran, which later on this ayat played a very important role for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is the very famous ayat, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is extremely great. His position is very, very high. He's extremely dear and close to your hearts. But understand that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not your ma'bud. You are not worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ Messengers have passed before. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to pass away, or if he has to be killed, will you turn on your heels? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَيْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا That person who turns on his heels, he will never harm Allah in the least. So this ayat was revealed regarding this situation. Anas bin Nadar radiallahu an was the uncle of Anas bin Malik radiallahu an. He was not blessed with the opportunity of participating in the battle of Badr. And he really felt sorry about this. He felt very hurt, very remorseful that I could not participate in the battle of Badr. So he used to say, if Allah has to bless us with another opportunity to fight, لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعْ Allah will see what I will do. Meaning I will really give it my best. I will give it my best. And I will strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will give everything that I have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, in this situation, when the Muslims lost their footing, then he makes dua to Allah. And he says, Allahumma inni a'tadhiru ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula. Oh Allah, I absolve myself, or I present an excuse to you. I am excusing myself from what those people have done. Meaning the archers leaving their positions, I have nothing to do with that. وَأَبْرَأُ إِلَيْكَ مِمَّا فَعَلَ هَؤُلَىٰ And oh Allah, I am absolving myself from what the kuffar are doing in trying to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, the news was that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. So in killing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah have nothing to do with all of this. And now, he goes towards the enemy. He sees a group of sahaba that were sitting down. So he asks them, that what are you all doing? They say, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no more. Why must we fight? So he says to them, مَا تَصْنَعُونَ بِالْحَيَاةِ بَعْدَهُ After Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you want to even live? What's the point in living after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gone, then you go and give yourself also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُومُوا فَمُوتُوا عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Go and give your life for the same cause that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his life. As we explained, Sahaba was still uncertain. What is the situation? But the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still living, or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. So he says that if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, then what's the point in living? Go and give your life also for the same cause that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his life. And then he moves towards the enemy. He meets Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu an, and he says to Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu an, Wahan lirihil jannah. How wonderful is the fragrance of Jannat. Wahan lirihil jannah. How wonderful is the fragrance of Jannah. Fawarabbin nadar inni la ajidu rihaha duna uhud. By the qasam of my Rabb, I can experience the fragrance of Jannat from the side of Uhud. In the direction of Uhud, I can experience and I can get the fragrance of Jannat. Allah blessed him with this bounty, that he could get the fragrance of Jannat. When he got the fragrance of Jannat, then there will be nothing that will give him enjoyment in this world. There's nothing for him to live. And he goes and he fights. Later on, when his body was found, his body was completely mutilated. Approximately 80 wounds on the body. And he could not be recognized. The only person that could recognize the sahabi was his sister. And that too, she could only recognize him with his fingertips. That was the only part that didn't have a wound. And she could recognize him from that. Besides that, she could not recognize any other part of the body. An important point for us to understand. When we discuss the mistakes of sahaba radiallahu anhum, the slips of sahaba radiallahu anhum, is that sahaba radiallahu anhum were extremely great. However, they were also insan. It is possible for a sahabi to make a mistake, for a sahabi to commit a sin. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were sinless. It's not possible for a Nabi to commit a sin. That is our belief. However, for a sahabi, for him to commit a mistake, to slip, to commit a sin, it is possible. However, we need to understand that although sahaba radiallahu anhum made mistakes, they committed sins, and that also there was a very great objective and there was a great, very, very great wisdom in sahaba radiallahu anhum making these mistakes. The wisdom behind sahaba making mistakes was that deen needed to be complete. For deen to be complete, They had to be a perfect example in front of the ummah. The ummah needed to have a perfect example. To have the perfect example, there will have to be different situations. There will have to be the situation when a mistake was committed, when zina was committed. There will have to be a situation when some theft had taken place. There will have to be a situation when Sahaba radiallahu anhum did not hold firm to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of that, they had to suffer some consequences. Why all of this had to happen? So that there will be a lesson for the ummah to come right till Qiyamah. So it was as if the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had put forward their respect. That, oh Allah, our respect can go, but deen must be complete. Our respect can go. People can say right till Qiyamah that those archers left their positions, but deen will be complete, and the entire ummah will understand the importance of holding firm onto every instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ummah will understand that if we have to fall short in holding firm to the instructions and commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will be the repercussions? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be in our midst, but we will still suffer defeat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will also be injured, as we will discuss in the next part. Sahaba will lose their lives. All of this will happen for a lesson to be set for the ummah to come right till Qiyamah. The importance of holding firm onto the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam may be, and not applying our minds when it comes to the teachings and commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those Sahaba applied their reasoning, and they felt that now the command does not apply, and therefore they left their positions. Because of this, a lesson was taught to the entire ummah, and a precedence was set for the entire ummah, how important it is for us to hold firm onto every teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we explained earlier, that whilst Allah reproached Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whilst Allah admonished Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses His love for them. Allah expresses His compassion towards them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very, very clearly recorded these words in Quran. وَلَقَدْ عَفَىٰ عَنْكُمْ Allah has forgiven you. Therefore, as we explained, no one will have the right till Qiyamah to point fingers against the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In another verse, after four verses, again Allah speaks about those Sahaba that left the battlefield temporarily. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلُّوا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ At the end of that verse also, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ Allah has forgiven them. So two times, in five verses, twice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces His forgiveness for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah also explains that this situation was not a punishment for Sahaba. Allah says, لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ This was a test for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One is a test, one is a punishment. So a test does not mean that the person that is testing is displeased. A punishment, the one that's giving the punishment, he is displeased. But when it is a test, then sometimes the test is also because of love. Because of love, he wants to test and to see the allegiance, to see the loyalty, and to teach them certain important lessons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Sahaba radiallahu anhum on our behalf, the best of reward. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to follow every teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.